Our subject this morning is decisions. We all make decisions from the time we wake up till we go to bed at night to ask the Lord to give us rest, to heal our bodies, cause us to be more spiritual. Our text verse is found in John 15, in the 15th chapter of the book of John. God says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." One of you asked me why I didn't ask everybody that I know to pray for my wife when she was sick, or you when you're sick. I believe that you got to be in condition to pray. The only prayer that everybody can pray is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You can pray for yourself. If you're lost, you can ask God to save you. If you've got weakness in your life, you can ask God to help you with them. That's one reason that I believe that we need to be saved early in life, because we all have those in our family that we certainly want to pray for. And we go through the process, and if you want to get in an argument with somebody, tell them that that profess to be lost, that they can't pray for me, that they can't pray for you. So I don't ever do that unless I'm forced into it. But have you ever heard a minister make the statement, "You need to make a decision for Christ"? Would it surprise you to know that that statement is foreign from the Scriptures? Because every one of us, before God saves us, are dead in sin, and the only person we can pray for is ourselves. It's just simple. It's Bible. But not only the statement, but the concept is not taught in the Bible at all. On the contrary, it is quite opposite that is taught. And there's several things that are inherently wrong with the statement, "Make a decision for Christ." It would be like going to a funeral home this afternoon, and the person you know, you looked at them and said, "Talk to me." Nobody would do that, because you know that person is not in the coffin to begin with, such the body is. They're either in heaven or they're in hell. But if you're lost, you can make a decision for yourself. You know, if God is working on you, you can say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But you can't pray for somebody else, and you can be concerned humanly, but not in the spirit. So let's look at just a few points this morning. First, Christ never asked you to make a decision for him. Christ clearly taught repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me to Luke 13. Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 3, 4, and 5. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? Nay. That's simply saying, no, that's not true. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And, of course, after God saves you, you realize it's very simple. You know. Lost people get excited about spiritual events. But going or participating in spiritual events will not save you. John 5:24 makes it very clear, you know, about as clear as any scripture you can find in the Bible. And I would always encourage lost people to memorize scripture. But if I was going to memorize one scripture that I like to read and quote and think about, it would be John 5:24. And I used that the very first day that God saved me. Didn't know what I was doing. I was as green as you can possibly be. But I was excited on the way to work that God saved me. And when I went to work, I had an idea, man, what I got is so good that when I tell people about it, they'll all want it. But they didn't. They laughed and made fun and said, oh, we'll see how you feel in a week or so. But God said in John 5:24, verily, verily, that's of a truth, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Notice the verbiage. And shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. That morning, going up US 25, I believe they called it the 6 Mile Bridge, train underneath that bridge, I was as saved then as much as I am right now. Hadn't made a profession of faith, hadn't been baptized, hadn't joined the church. But God said, you know, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me, and I had previously been going down to Grace Baptist Church and Brother Bill DeRoss had preached, and as I would go home, Dora and I would talk, and I said, you would think he would preach to somebody else except me. But see, God was working on me. And when he's working on you, you think that the preacher, no reason I don't go by. He just talks about me. If you're a sinner and lost, you're absolutely right. This is important to you, every lost person I talked to the past week. That goes for them. But it's encouragement to me because I know that God saved me because I didn't or stop doing this, that, and the other, and start doing this, that, and the other. Because when he saved me, I was on my way to work. I hadn't done nothing. But God granted me repentance, and I seen myself as a lost sinner on the way to hell. And Christ saved me. A decision is the work of the mind. I made a decision this morning when I got up. Do I want coffee or tea? Do I want a donut or do I want some eggs and bacon? By the way, the eggs and bacon won. But see, I made a decision. We make decisions every day. The Bible teaches that the mind of sinful man is corrupt and totally depraved, so that man will choose darkness rather than light because men love darkness rather than light. We get excited about some stupid show on TV or movies, you know. And that's all make-believe. And if you think you can go to heaven without repenting, having a change of mind, a change of heart that leads to a change of action, it won't happen. God tells us in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 19. John 3 and 19. We're familiar with John, the third chapter, but the 19th verse said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." That's why I still like the world. That's why I find myself thinking about something worldly. "But he that is in me is stronger and mightier than he that's in the world. So that spirit that lives in me keeps me from doing all time what this body wants to do." See, you're deceiving yourself. When you say, "I've been saved 30 years and I've never had a bad thought, I've never done anything wrong." I mean, that is just foolishness. That body is your enemy. Go on to verse 20. It said, "For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." I've been over to Carlisle, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it is. Went over there and came back, went back over. But this lady who's a good friend of my daughter's, she had a son in his teens, now he's in his 20s, and he called me about 2 weeks ago, and I said, "Where you at, Bobby?" He said, "Bourbon County Jail." "What are you in the Bourbon County Jail for?" "Well, I got picked up, and I had a little dope on me." "How many times have we talked about that, Bobby?" See, he wants to stop in the flesh, but he has no power because Satan will continue to tell him it's all right. Satan will continue to tell him if you use it enough, you know, you can take a whole lot and it won't bother you. All lies. Because the devil is the liar and he's the father of the liar. The Bible also teaches us that we are saved by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by the grace. And the Bible also teaches us that we are not saved by the work of righteousness, which we have done, but by the grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people, but, you know, like John, you know, he said, "But Brother Tony, you know, I'm a lot better. I don't use it as much as I used to, you know, and I'm keeping a job. See, why did I mention him? You don't know him, so that's why I would mention him. But he's the average lost person. When he decides I need to improve, they'll stop, you know. When I drink until I'm feeling high, now I don't keep drinking. I stop. That's all of the flesh. The only reason you do that is because you don't want to wind up in jail again. You don't want to wind up losing your license. You don't want to wind up losing your job. You don't want to wind up your wife walking out on you. But when God saves you, everything changes. Everything changes. And that's what we want. That's what we need. We need a complete change in our life. And the only person that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do it. We may want to. We may try to. But we just can't do it. And when we look at the Word of God, he makes it very, very clear. In the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, read this now, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You notice what he said? Not by works of righteousness. They'll tell you, but I used to do this, I stopped this, I stopped this, I stopped this, I stopped it. And the only thing difference before now and it was when you start stopping, were you a little cleaner person. You're probably a little more healthier. But healthy people go to hell too. Giving up sin will not save you unless you're saved, because you may give up this one and pick up something else. A sinner, all a sinner can do is sin. And it doesn't bother. And then we all know, been around church at all, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Notice verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But I like verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know why the sun is up there this morning? He said, well, it's daylight. Got nothing to do with it. That sun is up there because God put it there, and it's going to shine during the day, and the moon's going to shine at night, and whether we see it or not, it's still up there and it's still shining. Now, I like that analogy, because when you are a child of God and you in his will, you're really not interested. I'm not going to do that unless somebody pats me on the back. And we've had memories that way. Everybody's had memories that way. Everybody gets those type of people in their family. You know, you push them, or you pet them, or you tell them how good they are, and the church would fall apart if it wasn't from them. And I think that we ought to encourage one another. But God don't need me. And I told one of you, you know, whether you're here or you're homesick or you're out on the beach somewhere, I don't know. But, you know, what are we going to do if the Lord takes you home? God has something better for you. This church don't center around the pastor. It don't center around the deacons or song leader. Who does this church belong to? It belongs to the Lord. Amen. A decision is merely an operation of the mind. There are many who have a hid knowledge of facts about Jesus Christ. They really do. They know facts concerning His birth, His life, His death, and His resurrection. This is well and good, but it does not amount to saving faith. I've heard moms say, "My son has to be saved. My daughter's got to be saved." I mean, they know more Scripture than I do. Knowing Scriptures won't save you. It just makes you more responsible. We are told by Scriptures that the devils also believed and trembled. You ever read James 2:19? The devils believed, but believing without repentance is not salvation. You'll know when you've been saved. I mean, it's just a change of a peace comes into your life. But God said in James chapter 2, you know, James chapter 2 and verse 19, He says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and they tremble." They tremble because they know their destiny. Every devil or demon is going to be cast into the lake of fire. They know it. They believe it. So what are they'll use every trick there is to convince you that hell is not real. Christ didn't die. Live. Enjoy life. Because that's all it is. But God said the devil is a liar and the father of it. You see, it is the goodness of God that leads unto repentance, and faith is the gift of God. See, let me read that again. It is the goodness of God that leads unto repentance. And faith, that is the ability to believe and act upon those repentance, is of God. Now, He tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 4, notice what He says. Romans 2, verse 4, He said, "Or despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God lead thee to repentance." And I thought for a long time, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. But God led me to repentance. Because He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. One of the greatest books in this Bible is the book of Ephesians. Just make a habit of reading the first three chapters every day for about a month. It'll change you. It'll change you. And God tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, by grace are we saved through faith, not yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know. But he said in verse 10, what? We are his workmanship. Created unto good works. See, if God, you remember the story about the bowl that the guy made and wasn't suitable, so he threw it away and made another one. God said, for by grace are ye saved. But he said, we are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. If God ordained the sun to come up this morning, what happened? It came up. He ordained for it to go down this afternoon and the moon to come up, and it will. If God has ordained Brother Hampton to produce good works and he doesn't, did God make a mistake? He said, we are his workmanship created unto good works, which God had before ordained that he should walk in them. Nothing about you. It's nothing about me. He could raise his water bottle up this morning and preach better than I'm preaching. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. Why did he choose you? Because he loves you. Not because of what you are, but because of what you can become. It's just, we are told by scriptures that the devils also believed, you know, in existence of God, and they trembled. But this does not mean that they are saved by his grace. I mean, James 2:19 talks about them believing and trembling at the thought. You know, let's look at it, James 2:19. God said, thou believest there is one God? Answer that question to yourself. Thou doest well. The devils also believed, and they trembled. When's the last time you trembled at the thought of going to hell? When's the last time you thought, see, I was thankful. For 55 years of being married to my wife. But I was also thankful that the last 10 years of my life that I prayed day and night and in the middle of the day because God kept me in his faith. You can't just pray because you're a church member. You can't pray because your mom and dad are Christians. You got to be walking and talking and living in the grace of God. Repentance and faith are not decisions made by people, but are the results of the marvelous work of the Holy Spirit of God. Second, Jesus clearly taught that he is the one that made the choice. You know, we take a songbook like this, Broadman Hymnal, and we chose those books because they got scriptural songs in them. And most of them are scriptural, but not all of them. We sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." No, you didn't. If God hadn't chosen me, brought me up, granted me repentance, I would have never chose to follow Him. It is the Lord. See, Lord. John 15:16 makes it clear. "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you." Tells us that the wonderful truth of God has elected whom He is going to save. The scriptures declare that God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Oh, you know, everybody thinks that the preacher's kids have, you know, something extra going on. I don't know how many preachers that I know. Most of them I know that have kids. And most of those kids are the roughest, rottenest, sinful people you ever want to be around. Figure that one out. Because we hear and hear and hear, and we don't hear. I used to have a member that when I preached something twice, even if it was last year, David said, "You already preached that." I would always say, "Praise God." She would look at me real funny. "It must have been good because you remembered it." Most of us can't remember tonight what was preached this morning. And you remember a year. You never ask me that question again. I'll preach this message here for church service if the Lord led me. There ain't nothing new. I just, you know, put a different icing on that cake. Still same cake. God tells us in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. God said, "For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." I'll mention him in the prayer, but there's a brother that's in critical condition in Florida. And I prayed, and at the end of my prayer, each time I pray for this young man that's got a wife and five kids, "Father, you know best. And if it be your will to take him on home, that his wife and kids will grow stronger and stronger and stronger." There are many who claim that one must choose to be saved, and yet the Bible declares that before the world was, God had already chosen whom He would save. You're in the book of Romans. Let's stay here in chapter 9. And we look at verse 11. "For the children being not yet born." Who are we talking about? "Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of them that call it. Two brothers. God saved one, the other he didn't. There are many who claim that one must choose to be saved, and yet the Bible declares that before the world was, God had already chosen whom he would save. And why? Take a minute. If you die and go to hell, you can never blame God. God didn't force me to believe on him. We were both born with a depraved nature. We were both born lost in sin and unfit for the kingdom of God. But God, what a great exclamation, but God. You know, when somebody's on their deathbed and the doctor says, I've done all I can do, what do I always pray? But God. There's nothing God can't do. So when I think about Brother Hilly, I think about little Amber up in the UK hospital. But God. Such a chance, small chance. She'll get come home about Monday. But God. As we prepare to close here, God's election, however, has in no wise remove your responsibility to repent and believe the gospel. Mark. You didn't think I was going to leave you without letting you know you got a responsibility. You know. Old Jonah, we found out that about him, didn't we? Salvation is of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I tell people that are lost, I said, if you really would like to be saved, you would like for God to take control of your life, take this verse, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, and said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, Tony, and believe the gospel. Nobody can repent for me. Nobody can believe for me. And there's a large portion of this world who goes to talk to a little idiot on the other side of the booth that says, I'm going to forgive you your sins. He can't even save himself. The Pope can't save nobody. Brother Vance can't save nobody. None of you can save anybody. But you can tell them to repent and don't leave until you tell them what repentance is. Change of mind, change of heart that leads to a change of action. We know that so many people come down the aisle. I take them to the waters of baptism, and they go out into the world, and you say, what happened? They had an emotional experience. A lot of emotional experiences. The only reason that God will grant you repentance is that His Son paid your sin debt on Calvary. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day.